ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवन् वयम् अधुना त्वदवलोक परिमृष्टाशय मलाः सुरऋषीणा यत् कथितं तावकेन कथम् अन्यथा भवति। अथ भगवन् वयम् अधुना अथ भगवन् वयम् अधुना त्वदावलोक परिमृष्टाशय मलाः त्वदावलोक परिमृष्टाशय मलाः सुरऋषीणा यत् कथितम् सुरऋषीणा यत् कथितम् तावकेन कथम् अन्यथा भवति। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, my dear Lord, simply seeing you as now wiped away all the contamination of sinful activities and their results of material attachment and lusty desires, which always fill my mind and the core of my heart. Whatever is predicted by the great sage Narad Muni cannot be otherwise. In other words, I have obtained your audience as a result of being trained by Narad Muni. Purport. This is the process of the perfect way. One must take lessons from authorities like Narada. Vyasa and Asita and follow their principles. Then one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead even with one's own eyes. One only needs training. Atas Sri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyai. Without blunt eyes and other senses, we cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we engage our senses in the service of the Lord according to the instructions of the authorities, it will be possible to see Him. As soon as one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the sinful reactions in the core of one's heart are certainly vanquished. Way between his prayers, King Chitraketu is making an assessment of what exactly happens when one sees the Supreme Lord. So this therefore, atha, refers to all that he has said before, especially in the previous verse where he says, tvat darshanan nirnam akhila papakshaya. By seeing you, tvat darshanan nirnam, for people, akhila papakshaya, all sins are destroyed. Kshaya is annihilation, papa is sins. Yan nama sakrit shravanat. Once if someone hears your name, it is enough. We have two instances where this happens and does not happen. If there is a tank containing 10,000 gallons of gasoline and one candle which is lit, it falls in that tank, there's going to be a big explosion. It doesn't require a huge flame for a 10,000 gallon tank. If somebody has seen about 5 gallons of petrol and you need a small flame and it goes in flames, so you don't use a proportionate flame for a 10,000 gallon tank. That, oh, for this small one you needed a flame like this size, So for a big gallon or big tank, you need a much bigger flame. No. Why is that? Because the entire thing is flammable. Like you watch on the backs of those trucks carrying flammable liquids. It's flammable. Be careful. And why did I say that sometimes it doesn't happen like that? What if there is wood which can catch fire? But even if that wood is put in blazing fire, it doesn't catch fire because it's wet. Wet wood won't catch that kind of fire. So we read these Shastric statements. Yan Naam, it doesn't say Naam, many names, it says Yan Naam, one. Sakrit is also one. Sakrit is a Sanskrit word which means one, singular. Shravanat, once somebody hears the holy name, Akhila Papakshaya. And we may feel it didn't happen, at least in my life. My papas have not gone. Like one simple person, simple village fellow, asked a sadhu that you say taking Ganga bath and all my sins go away. But I am taking Ganga bath for the last so many years. I was born on the banks of the Ganga. He said, sure. The bathing process is perfect. Your sins just leave your existence and they hover in the air. But when you come out, you catch them again. That's a problem. But actually, once is enough. So now he's saying that Narad Muni has predicted that this will happen. It is always gentlemanly to express gratitude. If somebody expresses gratitude in business life, political life, it's seen as good. But in spiritual life, it's a must. And we find all authorities, Chitraketu is an authority now, and they showing gratitude to who has helped them. So in a very short, succinct, but very powerful purport, Prabhupada is saying here, this is the process of the perfect way. And what is this perfection here? That one must take lessons from authorities like Narada, Vyasa, Asita, and follow their principles. It also means that authorities who teach principles, they follow them. It's not like, do as I say, don't do as I do. No, you have to walk your talk. You should behave as per you say. So there's a very small sentence here. One only needs training. And I thought, we can just focus on this one statement. One only needs training. What is this society that we have joined? We may say it's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's international because we have devotees from various nationalities. It's a society. That means it's a samaj. It has various levels of people, various levels of understandings. It's a society about being conscious. It may not be too adventurous to say that almost every society, whatever it might be, has to have some kind of consciousness. If you have something like the Uttar Bharatiya Sangha in Mira Road, and if you ask them, oh, why do you exist? Well, Uttar Bharatiya people, they don't get their due in Bombay, so we have to fight for it. And we also like to celebrate our festivals together. Or we have a Tamil Sangam, or we may have North Canara Gaud Saraswat Bank Limited. Why do we exist? Well, we want to help our people. The list is endless. There could be a poetry circle. There could be a Victorian poetry circle, only about Victorian era poets. So whether the association is commercial, political, hobby groups, amateurs, professionals, they all have to be conscious about something. And we find that those who are supposedly the most conscious, they are the leaders. They are the pioneers. So we have taken a conscious decision, that means by our own volition, to join a society which trains you up in becoming Krishna conscious. And why did we take that decision? We felt there could be some profit here. I am conscious of so many things. I am conscious of my job, which I didn't get, or which I want, or a career, which I want. And these all kinds of different aims were proven, at least on paper, theoretically, by one personality, Swami Prabhupada, as mundane. Mundane comes from the Latin word mundo or mundi, which means the world. Anything to do with the world. So, we decided to take a otherworldly career. How it sounds? You're joining a mutt? No, I'm taking an otherworldly career. I'm doing an apprenticeship in becoming a servant in some other universe somewhere. It's a higher plane with multi-dimensional activities. Oh, now it sounds very attractive, isn't it? Say, oh, I joined as a brahmachari, I have become a grihastha here, I have been full time. Sounds very banal, sounds very commonplace. So Prabhupada, these are very, very significant things, but Prabhupada makes it appear as if it is a simple thing. That training is required, that's all. Now most of us here, the bulk of the crowd here, those are temple inmates. We are supposed to approach a guru according to the Vedic culture. Samit Pani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. We have to have firewood ready with us. Pani is hands, firewood. And we have to approach a guru who would light the fire and would initiate us. Okay, I now accept you as a disciple. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva bigachet. Tad is that. Tad vijnanartham. If you want anything to do with this plane, mundane world, this world, don't go to that person. But if you want to have knowledge about that, Brahma or Parabrahma, only then, tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva. You cannot do on your own. You cannot be a self-manifested guru. You cannot be a self-taught expert. You may say, I'll teach you in easy steps. I am self-taught. It cancels out. You can't teach me something if you are a self-taught person. So, Samit Pani Srotriyam Brahmanishtam. And the guru has to have heard from his guru. One reporter saw that Prabhupada was taking, people were saying, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. He asked, what do you mean by this? This is the name, this is the title of our spiritual master and we are glorifying him. So he said, they seem to worship you. As if he was making a discovery. Hey, they are worshipping you. And Prabhupada said, yes. And I worship my guru. It skipped him completely because his other question was something else. But we understand that Prabhupada was very alert to make people understand that you need to worship the Guru because you are worshipping the Guru, Tattva. The person is a representative of that Tattva. Like in the military they say, you salute the rank, not the person. And of course, the person also deserves that, he is part of it. But mainly your salute is to the rank. So therefore, to have this kind of Krishna consciousness, you need a society. You need an institution. You can't do it on your own. We always have this dialogue, this dvandva, between why should we join some institution? In India, the flavor is not of no institution. Institutions are on the rage. There are so many of them. But in the West especially, after maybe 2,500 years, at least 2,000 years of such horrible experiences with institutions, institutional religion is like mutually exclusive things. One cancels out the other. You may have institution and no religion. And if you say, no, the religion has to exist, then the institution has to go. Be on your own. Discover your own path. So popular gurus, modern day gurus, they elaborately show you how not to follow modern day gurus. Or how not to follow any guru. Be your own guru. One such fellow happens to be an Indian of ethnic origin. He was asked, what is this word guru? He says it simply means, gee, you are you. Gee, of course, is the way Americans have their exclamation mark. So, that's what he tells you, you are you. You need to have a guru for that? To tell you that I am me? So that's what Bhagavatam predicts, that in Kali Yuga, it would all be Shabda Chala, word jugglery. So much of word jugglery that finally you give credit to at least to the jugglery. That, oh, what a nice way of doing word jugglery. Very innovative way of doing it. But that's not the proper process. Another aspect of this training is the transformation which takes place. If someone trains and trains and he becomes experienced, like normally somebody might say, ye mere baal safed kaise ho gaye, my hairs have turned white, dhoop mein nahi, not due to sun, I have experience. So in one conversation, Prabhupada is saying, he says, I saw so many people in the West, it's all over the world, but he's talking to especially to his Western disciples, that if this person has experience of sense gratification and he knows that he is not satisfied, why is he going again to the nightclub? Then what is the value of that experience? He's old, he may be 60, 70, 80 years old, but he's not experienced. He's just old. So experience means, like they say, experience is the best teacher. Is it not? But it's half the saying. The other half is, and a fool will learn by nothing else. Right at the beginning of Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada writes in a purport, experience comes by hearing. And we may say, really? But if I hear from you, you hear from me, what's the big deal? I won't get any knowledge. Therefore, you have to experience from someone who is Tattva Darshi. You have to seek out someone. So, in the secular, rational, logical, modern thinking world, they are just so disappointed that you won't find anyone who is this Tattva Darshi. You won't find anyone who has knowledge of that realm. Why? Because the way in which they measure someone is faulty. You see a guru with your mundane eyes and you think that he has two eyes, two ears, he eats, sleeps. He's like me. Why should I respect him? So therefore, one has to understand how to see the guru. Or what exactly do you mean by accepting the words of a guru as God's words? Like in the beginning lecture, 26 Second Avenue, they said, what about people who claim they are God? Prabhupada said, they are just the opposite. They are dog. Not G-O-D, but D-O-G. And the very next day, the lecture was about initiation. And someone said, Swamiji, what exactly does initiation mean? He said, the disciple surrenders his life to the spiritual master and accepts him as God. And there was pin drop silence. And they said, what? Just yesterday he said, anyone who says I am God is just the opposite. And today he's saying us, telling us just to do that. And Prabhupada was like, he didn't say anything strange. So it took some time for people to understand, what exactly do you mean? They said, somebody said, yes. Do you mean to say he is God? Prabhupada said, no, I never said that. I never said he is God. You have to accept him as God because he is dear to God. Kintu prabhorya priya eva tasya. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we have this rock solid understanding that the guru is God because he is dear to God. And there is only one way you can become dear to God, if you become dear to some servant of God, isn't it? So that's the process. So therefore, the second part of understanding this training is the change which occurs. Yatha kansyam vidhanati, kansyam rasa vidhanataha, tatha diksha vidhanena, dvijatvam jayate nirnam. A huge transformation. What the scriptures are aiming at is nothing less than miraculous. Just like bell metal becomes gold. We may say, well, in today's times, we don't even have an experience of that. There are many people who can give you fool's gold or cheap gold or whatever. Like one day going from Howrah to Navdeep in that small train, somebody came with a chain and he started pounding on it. He took that train, he took the chain and was rubbing it vigorously on the compartment wall. And he's saying, this gold chain, only 20 rupees. And no one took. Why? Because at least they were intelligent that you can't have a gold chain for 20 rupees. So how is this that somebody can transform bell metal to gold? In one lecture, Prabhupada hints that obviously the art existed sometime. It's a subtle art. The art of making any base metal, any cheaper metal into gold. One of our devotees were trying to research and find out that. But in all honesty, much profit would be attained by the second half of the verse, which says that that's the transformation occurs when someone takes diksha. This is the miracle. The miracle is not that something strange happens in material nature, but conditioned souls who have had no interest in spiritual life suddenly become so enthusiastic. Of course, when that transformation doesn't occur, that means there is something wrong. So a bona fide guru is one who imparts this miracle, bell metal becoming gold. Diksha also has this aspect of divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papa sankshayam. So di stands for divyam jnanam, you get transcendental knowledge, and the ksha is the eradication of sarva papa.
So just see, again, these two things go hand in hand. Getting knowledge and sins coming down. It can never, 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 ever possible that knowledge is coming in, download is going on, but the sin, that sin.exe is still working on your hard drive. It can't be. That program has to go. It may go after a long time. It may take several lifetimes. But it has to go. Sometimes the scripture says it's as simple as in the presence of the sun, there can't be any darkness. So sin can't stand before Krishna. Even in the so-called karmi world, outside world, non-devotee world, they like this thing called training. People make extensive research, especially those who put so much of their money. I read one statistic that $1 spent in training gives you $13 back. So they say, then that's good. Because ultimately profit is the only thing which may enthuse a karmi. Karmi means sakam karmi. Sakam is profit. I want some fruit out of it. And of course, some wisdom which is available is also applicable to us. That, like in an organization, if they say, you put so much money into training, like we have this VTA, T stands for training, BT, it's training. So training is throughout our life. We may wish that, I just hope it gets over. Just this June 2007 or 2008 and I'm liberated. No, one has to have this mindset of a perpetual learner, a perpetual student. In the beginning of Hitopadesh, Narayan Pandit exhorts us to, when going for sense gratification, think you may die the next moment. You say, what's the fun? If somebody gives you a pizza, pasta, and ice cream all laden together and say, the moment you finish this, you will die. You may say, then I won't finish it at all. I can't eat this. So that should be the attitude for going for sense gratification. But when some learning opportunity comes, behave as if you are eternal. You're going to live, you're immortal. So while learning, keep yourself in the immortal mindset. You might say, now what will I do with this knowledge? I don't know, need to know another verse or another shastra. No, keep yourself fresh. So the problem is not that, what if you spend so much money, energy, time in training people and they leave? Especially true for outside corporations. You train someone, you train somebody in one particular department and then he goes to another department. You train somebody, we're talking even of volunteers, spiritual organizations. So these experts tell us, don't worry. Don't worry if trained people leave. Worry if untrained people stay. That's the main worry. That someone who has not taken training and will not budge, he's like that cork stuck in a bottle. Won't allow anything to go inside, anything from inside to come outside. That's not the way. So therefore, from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada was training his disciples. He once told, I taught Jadurani how to paint. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I taught Karandar how to manage book distribution. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he took 3-4 names of devotees and he said, I taught them how to do various difficult jobs, completely different jobs, by this one process. Somebody asked a question, if love of God, as you claim, is inside us, it doesn't need to be taught, then why do you need to teach chanting? Good question, isn't it? You don't need to teach somebody how to love. Love and teach are incongruous. If you're teaching someone, that means the love was not there. And if something can be taught, then it can't be love. It can be something artificial. So Prabhupada explains in the Netra of Devotion, there's a chapter about devotee. He says that the learning capacity is always there in a small child. 5-6 months old, he has the learning capacity. And therefore when the mother lifts him up and says, take one step, one more step, one more step, slowly he begins to walk. If someone doesn't have the learning, the walking capacity, like unfortunately we see sometimes people with polio, even if 10 people help them, they can never walk. So it's a wonderful thing that Krishna consciousness at one and the same time has to come out from within and also is taught. It's taught because right now we don't know what that Krishna consciousness is. So that training is essential. Prabhupada once explained the Varnashram system as a training academy. He says you are just taught how to train yourself under proper care. Training of course has its own rules, regulations. Like in boxing, the early you lose your nose bone, that tendon, the better boxer you will be. So in the very first few weeks or something, he punches your nose so much that finally there's no pain. But he doesn't do it on the very first day, otherwise you won't come back. Like on the very first swimming lesson, if he pushes you in water, the trainer, and the very first experience is so wild. I've had this experience, one friend of mine. The very first day the trainer put him in water and he was feeling that 10-foot water is more dangerous than 8-foot. But we told him, you are 5 foot, so what's the difference that 8 or 10 makes to you? You don't have any problem. But he's saying, no, not in 10, 8 is good. But the very first day, that fright, he never again came to the swimming pool. So that kind of training is not actually training. There is a word for it called pedagogy. It means the art of training, the art of teaching. There could be 25 lessons in how to make chapatis. You don't do that the very first day. You start with lesson number 1. Similarly, Prabhupada began his whole process by gradual training. Of course, we see sometimes Prabhupada criticizing his disciples. There is a statement where Prabhupada said, Krishna didn't send me any first class people, all 10th class. You may say 10th class, but they're all big sannyasis and big gurus and big devotees now. It's his right as a trainer to say that. It's not our right as would-be trainees to see that in the same manner. We do not know at what point of time, like a trainer, we like if somebody is giving gymnastic lessons and the gymnast falls down. He says, okay, now I'll show you. Second time he falls down, third time he falls down, fourth time he gives a slap, a resounding slap, and you may say, hey, is this how you train people? You see, but this is the 6th time I'm telling him and he's still failing. So sometimes the human mind surely will take things as mundane. Like in an army boot camp, the very first day they may tell you, this is the tree, north of the tree, 300 yards, make a hole. And the evening the boot camp sergeant comes and says, you fool, you donkey, you idiot, I told you to the south of the tree. And you may say, but sir, he says, no buts, immediately, no rations for today unless you dig that hole. And you may mutter that, I heard it was north and why this fellow is saying south. The point is they don't want to make you a ditch digger. Is that the skill? How skillfully you dig ditches? The skill is how swiftly you act upon commands. Those soldiers who know this is the essence of it, they become very good soldiers. Those who try to understand, so if one doesn't know what one is trained in, how can one voluntarily participate in it? Prabhupada is saying here, one only needs training. One simple sentence. That's all. But that encompasses the whole thing. When Sarvam Bhattacharya, he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya had told his followers, he was in a mock anger mood with them. He said, either you go first or I go first. So Gopinath and Nityanand Prabhu has broken his danda at the time. And Lord Chaitanya is very angry. As a sannyasi, he wants to show his behavior that, you know, I can't be bogged down by a big paraphernalia of followers and everything. So they said, no, you go ahead. So he goes, he sees Lord Jagannath, and immediately transformation takes place. Now that transformation is not to be understood by mundane vision. Rupa Goswami describes what vikar transformation took place in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw Lord Jagannath, who's like a wooden doll, big eyes, not clearly defined features. And we see it as, well, what to make of it? But Lord Chaitanya saw it as Krishna himself. Ashtavikar, 8 kind of symptoms takes place. Vepathya, Vebarnyu, the body shivers, hair stand on end, streams of tears flow from your eyes. Rupa Goswami says the beginning stage is called Dhumait. Dhuma is smoke. One or two come in your body, it's called Dhumait. Two and more, then it's called Jwalit. Now that's not smoke, it's fire now. Jwalan, fire. More than 3 and 4, it becomes Dipta. Now the fire is getting hotter. More than 4 and 5, 6 maybe, it becomes Uddipta. And 8, it's called Sudipta. These 8, all at the same time and 1,000 times multiplied, is what happened in the body of Mahaprabhu when he saw Lord Jagannath. It was all 8 at the same time and multiplied by 1,000. That's Sudipta. No one can imitate that. And surprisingly or understandably, the guard tried to beat him up. So many might be coming every day to Lord Jagannath and doing this kind of thing. But Sarvam Bhattacharya somehow was there. He stopped him and says, wait. And he saw that his abdomen was not moving. Normally if somebody is sleeping, the abdomen goes up and down. But Sarvam Bhattacharya was intelligent. He took him to his house. He took a small cotton swab, held it near his nostrils, and saw the fibers were moving. He said, he's alive, thank God. Then Lord Chaitanya woke up and he said, where am I? So he said, Sannyasi, you are in my room. This is my house. I am the Raj Purohit. My name is Sarvabhauma. And Lord Chaitanya said, thank you so much for saving my life. I don't know what happened to me. He said, tell me one thing. I see that you have your followers here. They came later. And the followers, of course, had to ask, did you see our Prabhu, our Prabhu, our Prabhu? And somebody said, there was one fellow who just came and he just fell down. And said, ah, we got him. He says, where is he now? He says, Sarvabhauma's house. So they went to Sarvabhauma's place. They started chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was very happy. Sarvabhauma Prabhu's mindset was, I need to train him up. He said, look, you're a sannyasi and you're very young and you're very handsome. And you go out on the street like this, how are you going to maintain your sannyas? He said, I don't know. I'm that mad frenzy. I don't know what I did. Somehow I've taken sannyas now. I can't give it up. So what am I supposed to do? I will train you up in Vedanta. So, even at that status, Lord Chaitanya agreed to take instruction from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. We know the inside story. Bhattacharya was the big fish. He couldn't be caught by simple technique. If Lord Chaitanya would have gone to him and said, "What nonsense are you speaking and teaching? Come and sit with me, let's debate."
Oh, it would have led to a whole eruption of logic and nyaya, and Saurabh Bhattacharya was at that time. We can't imagine how intelligent he was. He's Brihaspati.
There was Navanyaya of Mithila. Navanyaya of Mithila can be compared. There's nothing like that today in terms of like something like a Harvard MBA or a Yale law degree or IIT here or top-notch job. Somebody's a PMO secretary. I'm giving mundane and not very good examples. But at that time, to become an expert in Navanyaya, and it was so closely guarded, hundreds and hundreds of books, and you can't take them away. Saurabh Bhattacharya was the one who went there, studied under someone, learned by heart all those books, came out, branched out to Vidyanagari, started his own academy, and became famous. Just imagine, hundreds and hundreds of texts with thousands and thousands of shlokas, and he learned all of them and started teaching them. To catch someone like that, you can't just go and tell him that I need to teach you something. So Lord Chaitanya went like this. 7 days and seven nights, Saurabh Bhattacharya tutored him. And he was like this, like a plain Dumbo, didn't understand anything. And he said, "Krishna Chaitanya, now I'm sorry, I like to teach and it really gets me excited." People who like to teach, they get carried away by the bhav of, you know, imparting that education. He says, "Now I realize that I forgot to ask you one simple thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Is it too tough? I can bring you to my level, or I can come down to your level, and I want to help you." Lord Chaitanya saw, this is the moment. He said, "Sanskrit I know, I'm a student of grammar. Sanskrit is no problem. But your interpretations are, the Vedanta Sutra of Vyasadeva is like the blazing sun at noon on a summer day. But your interpretations are like a dark rain cloud." And he said, "What? Can you explain? Where am I causing the problem here?" So he just gave one or two examples. Then the words came, "Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame Kurvanti Ahetukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Guno Harihi." To put it simply, those who are Atma Ram, they still have a craving for understanding Hari Leela. And the question is, why is that? Then one after another, Lord Chaitanya started giving him things, and Sarvabhauma just collapsed. Of course, it's a long story. I was trying to connect it to the understanding that at that point also, the Lord agreed to take training. So therefore, without staying under an institutional umbrella, it's difficult to train ourselves. It said, one who has his own mind as his teacher has a fool for a student. So we sing every day. It's not like we take a guru and leave him the next day or next month or even next life. When asked, Prabhupada said, what do we sing? "Chakshudana Dilo Jai." He has given me the eyes to see spiritual truths. "Janme Janme Prabhu Sei." He alone is my master, birth after birth after birth. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. I'm sorry, I overshot about time, so we'll stop here. Gandharaj Madhavatma Purana ki.